manifesting generators and generators, like their energy pours out into the world around them. And when they are lit up, they light everybody up, you know? And so it is so to everybody's benefit. That is a priority, even if it sometimes means maybe stepping away from your kids to go do a thing that you love, because you'll come back a different person.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Verde. Let's do it.
Okay, for the second time, we got my girl Erin Claire Jones. You guys maybe have remembered from an episode we did in our first season when we went through all the human design, different things you could be, and also what it could show up like as parents and for your kids. But Erin, welcome back. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So let's just girl, you got a lot of stuff going on. You got a toddler, a baby, you got a book coming out next month. Tell me, what is life like right now for you?
Oh my man. I think that it's a very intense season. You know, I feel like when I got pregnant this last time, I really had a vision of being pregnant while writing my book, because I felt so creatively on fire the first time I was pregnant.
Yeah.
But I will say being pregnant with a toddler is definitely a whole different situation. So the creativity is flowing a little bit less. So I think it's been... it's just been a wild season. And I would say this season of having a 6-month-old and a 2-year and almost 2.5-year-old and, you know, launching a book it's amazing. It feels like so much is happening all at once. And I also look forward to being on the other side of this season.
Yes. Yes. What about this season has been the hardest part, I would think, with managing everything, but also has there been anything that was surprisingly great too?
I would say... I honestly think the hardest part is some things obviously can't be prioritized. So I think that I wish that I could prioritize more time with my husband and just quality time. And honestly, we're just in survival mode, having these two kids and all the stuff all the time. So I think that's actually been the hardest part, is not being able to attend to all the things I would like to with him, because there's just so much to take care of and be responsible for with the book and the babies right now. So that has been the hardest part. And I think the most surprising part is I don't know. I actually don't feel like I've lost out with time with my kids. You know, I think that I would love more, but I also feel like I have pretty clear boundaries where at a certain point I'm I just can't do everything and balls are going to drop. And I know that it will be so bad for my mental health and for my kids if I'm just totally unavailable. So it's been really nice to just create more stronger boundaries for myself and be I'm going to do the best that I can.
Yes.
And I also need to have a lot of time with my family, because that is the most important thing for me right now. So
yes. And I 100% we just had someone on the podcast just a while ago, who's a DJ. And she was just talking about how being a mom, you don't have that much time. So prioritizing time and being direct, nope, I can't do that. I can't do you become I think I got way better at that once I became a mom, because before I'd be very people pleasing or I'd feel bad. Yeah. I can't do stuff. Now I'm no, girl, bye. I can't do it. You know what I mean? It's just a different thing. I know that you're a projector. Is your husband a projector too?
He's a generator. And then I have a manifesting generator toddler and a manifestor 6-month-old.
Wow.
Four types represented in our family.
Four types.
I know.
Girl. Okay. We're going to get into that. Okay. So what made you decide to write this book? And tell us a little bit more about the book.
Of course. So the book is called How Do You Choose? A Human Design Guide to What's Best for You at Work and Love and in Life. I think that I'm coming up on my 10 years of studying and sharing human design, which is just crazy. I've committed a decade of my life.
Girl, bye. And you are I feel like I go places and I'll be like, oh, anybody mentions human design, it's synonymous with your name. Were you on the podcast for, she was on Catfish. Why am I forgetting her name? Kami Crawford.
Oh my God, I'm recording again with her on Thursday.
Are you? Okay. Uh-huh. I ran into her, I don't know when it was, a couple months back. Anyways, you came up, but Human Design came up, Erin Claire Jones. I was like, yep, she is the goat. Anyways, made you decide to write this?
Okay, so I had been wanting to write a book for a while, and I had, my community had been asking me for a while, but I was feeling a little bit stuck because I felt like there were a lot of amazing human design books out there, and they were all human design textbooks that were kind of let me walk you through every element of the chart. And so I just didn't want to write a book that already existed. I felt like it existed. It didn't need me. Yeah. And so I think what became very clear is where a book was needed was a book that was really around how to kind of use human design to help people live their best life. So the book is not about teaching people human design and every intricacy of the chart, right, but it's how to actually use it to find more connection in your relationships, to level up in your career, to make better, clear, more aligned decisions. So it's far more consumer friendly than anything I've seen. And also the goal is like, it's not just going to be appealing to people that love human design, but really be appealing to, like, honestly, anyone who's just like, I feel stuck. I'm having a hard time making decisions. Like, something's not working in this relationship or something's not working in my career. And I want to see how I could do things better. Yeah. And like, the book is meant for that. It's meant to be a real time guide that you're like, I feel stuck. I feel resistance. Let me open it up and see what I can do better. And like, I've already used it this way for myself. I have a lot of friends and colleagues that have kind of their, or that have their advanced copies, and they're already using it that way. So it's been really cool. I think the book is very much like, how can the system actually be used to make some kind of transformation in your life? And it is very much presented through the lens of how human design can be applied to parenting, to relationships, and to career. So it's not just like, here's an explanation. It's like, what does it actually look like in each of these aspects of our lives? And also, what are like real stories of people using it, and how have they actually used it to transform their life?
Oh, I love it. I know you sent me an advanced copy, and so I'm excited to dig in. So Erin, it was so freeing for me when I understood more about manifesting generators and why the way I am the way that I am. And I know that we had a whole podcast on this, and if y'all, I will link it below, but we went through every single type, what it looks like as parents, what it looks like in our kids. But just so to give us a little bit of an update, you know, or a reminder, can we kind of go through each type and something that really stuck out with you with writing this book that you want each of us to kind of take away, depending on who we are?
Of course. So if you all are new to human design and don't yet know your type, you can look it up at humandesignblueprint.com.
Yes.
You'll need your time, date, and place of birth. You'll see a wild looking chart that isn't meant to make much sense, but alongside that, you'll see a list of qualities. Look at your type. There are five different types: manifesting generators, generators, projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. So you, Lauren, are a manifesting generator.
I am.
I think the thing that comes up, and obviously there's so much, but manifesting generators are very multi-passionate and multidimensional by nature. And so often they've been made to feel scattered, or like they're doing too much, or they can't choose just one path, when like they are meant to be really big, and they're meant to keep pivoting and changing and like trying things out and letting things go. So giving themselves permission to really step into that. And then I would say the other piece that comes up is that manifesting generators tend to move faster than most.
Yeah.
Once they have clarity that an idea is correct, they can really make that thing happen so quickly, so powerfully, and sometimes can be disappointed in the comparatively low capacity of other people, because they're like, why aren't others doing as much, or why aren't they moving as fast? And like, there's nothing wrong with others. They're just wired differently. And so I think there's often a level of compassion when manifesting generators realize like, oh, my gift is efficiency and it might not be matched by other people. So noticing areas where maybe you've been believing that others should be just like you.
Okay. Yep. Facts. Facts. Yeah. Hard facts. Yes.
So I would say my reminder for generators is that generators are so naturally resourceful and capable and able to make things happen.
Yeah.
And because of that, they sometimes can get burdened with caring so much on their own, because people are piling things onto them and they're like, oh, I should do it. I can do it. Like, I might as well take it all on. And then obviously burn themselves out in the process. Yeah. So I would say a big reframe for generators is knowing the more personally satisfied and fulfilled you are by what you're working on, the more energy you'll have, for your family, for your friends, for your work. Also, you know, the more magnetic you are, the more vibrant you'll be. So really kind of knowing that when you prioritize your own satisfaction, it's not a selfish choice. It's the most generous thing you can do for everyone around you.
Wow.
Because they just, and I'm married to a generator. And again, I can just remind people, these people are so capable. And I find myself being like, oh my God, he can do this and he can do this and he can do this. But it's just like, it ultimately leads them to burnout. So I think it's so important for generators in relationships to feel like their desires are not overlooked, but they're really seen and they're really valued and they're really made space for.
I love that.
Oh man, projectors.
That's you.
That's me. Girl. Yeah. So much here. I think that I guess what comes up is that projectors, you know, our energy is meant to naturally ebb and flow. You know, we can have periods of inspiration and action and periods of rest, but so often we feel this pressure to keep going and going and going and feeling like we cannot stop. And I would just say that even if you're in a season, like I've talked about the season I'm in right now, which feels crazy in so many ways, like wherever you can take a pocket of rest, of pause, a moment where you like are not trying to produce anything. You're not trying to check a thing off a list. You're just like lying down or reading fiction or drinking a cup of tea. like the better you'll be on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so my breaks are shorter than they usually are, you know, and they're rarer than they usually are. And yet still, wherever I can take them, I find it makes the biggest difference. So just giving yourself permission to take rest and to be unproductive in that restful period, because I do think as projectors, me included, we often get stuck in this idea of like, but how can I make this productive? How can I like listen to another course or listen to another podcast or do laundry or just be like, but it's okay to be unproductive for a moment.
Oh, wow. Okay. That resonates. And thinking about Amber too. I'm just thinking about all the projectors in my life. And
I know.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's good for the people around us to remind us of that. You know, it's really helpful for me when my husband's like, it's okay to stop. And I'm like, what? It's okay to stop? Oh yeah, I can do that for a moment. Okay. Manifestors. Manifestors are very innovative, disruptive people, people that are really here to kind of tread their own path and do their own thing.
Yeah.
I would say two things come up. One, manifestors tend to love freedom, freedom to do what they want, when they want, how they want. They will often do best in jobs and relationships that make them feel free. So I would think about as a manifestor, one, what freedom means to you, but two, are there ways that you can integrate it more into your life right now? Like, is it having a morning a week where like there are no interruptions? Is it being able to kind of like just tell your partner that like, I'm going to go off on the spontaneous trip and do my thing? Is it around asking for space from your friends when you need it? I don't, is it, you know, having a little bit less micromanagement from your boss and a little bit more communication up front? Right. Whatever that thing is for you, I would consider how to build more of it into your life. And then the other reminder for you is that you are so good at starting things, but not necessarily here to do all the finishing. So really giving yourself permission to kind of be in the role of kickstarting something new, and when and if possible, delegating so you can kind of move on to the next thing and breathe life into a new idea.
Oh, that makes sense.
Then we've got, do you know manifestors?
I do. I can't think of, my husband, I think, is Manjen. No, he's a girl, I don't know. But I do, when you were describing this, I'm like, this person must be a manifestor that's in my life. Like the way that you're even saying, like starting and like really getting excited about the startup process, but not necessarily, you know, finishing. I just know people a lot like that. And that just resonates.
Totally. And then the final type is a reflector. This is the rarest type. Mm-hmm. And again, there's so much to say about all of them, but the two pieces that come up for reflectors are, one, what makes reflectors so cool in my mind, so many things, but one of them is that they are so vast in the way they're here to express themselves in the world. Like they are not here to find like their one purpose or their one way of expression. It's really about like trusting that like there are so many versions of them that will come out in different seasons of life among different friends in different roles. And so really allowing yourself to just embrace whatever version feels the most authentic to you in the moment and allowing that version to keep changing and evolving and shape-shifting, because like you're just not meant to be one thing. A lot of us are meant to be like fixed and like this is who we are, but like that's just not you. And then the other piece that comes up for reflectors is that these people are so sensitive to their physical space. And one of the most powerful ways to kind of make themselves available to the right opportunities is to put themselves in spaces that feel good. And so I would really give yourself permission as a reflector to be a very ruthless curator of where you spend time and who you spend time with, because that's going to make such a big difference in your life. So allowing yourself to be pretty meticulous. If a space doesn't feel right, leaving. If a hotel doesn't feel right, changing. If you can, if the table at the restaurant doesn't feel right, finding a one that does. So really allowing that sensitivity to space to kind of guide where you spend time.
That's so, do you know any reflectors like personally? Cause I don't
I
know.
Do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm obsessed with them. I think they're so amazing. And I think they're also so wise. I feel like the reflectors in my life, I just value their perspective so much. You know, these people just see and sense and feel things that other people miss. And so they really do well in environments where that gift is really recognized and they're invited to share their perspective. But I tell a few stories in the book, many stories about reflectors. And I'm just so amazed by like what happens when they align with their design. Because like one story that I tell, like I said, reflectors, like opportunities tend to arise when they're in spaces that feel good and they're just kind of open to whatever comes. But there's one story I tell about a reflector who really wanted to work at an NGO at the UN. That was like her big vision. And she was a server at a restaurant at the time. And this woman came in who was a patron at the restaurant and started asking her questions, like, what is your aspiration? What do you want to do? And so she started kind of sharing her dreams. And this woman worked for the UN, ran an NGO, like ended up hiring her. And she worked there for 7 years. And it was just like, she had like all these amazing moments in her life that unfolded when she just was like in a space that felt good, was super open to what came, and just kind of like trusted the people that naturally saw her. So I think it's really cool for me to hear those moments of like, wow, look what happens when you really kind of just allow this and don't resist this way that you are.
Yeah. Reflectors even seem like a little bit magical. Like I think so. You know, yeah. Like they'll walk into a room and if it's not right, they'll be like, I'm out. And then like something bad will happen at that party. You know what I mean? Like they're just like, nope, I'm protecting my peace kind of people. I want to do what they're doing because they just feel things, I think, before we do.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit more, about you were just saying as a projector, like you needed to find space of rest. And this season for you, girl, I was just like telling Aaron before you started recording, I was like, I'm tired, like just thinking about your life right now. Like you just seem like you have so much going on. How has it been creating? Like you were creating life, literally. Mm-hmm. You had a toddler who you were sustaining the life of, and then also creating this beautiful work of something that you are passionate about. How did you find time to do that while being a parent?
I think that like I would say that I just try to be very specific about my time.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like I feel like in another version of my life, it would be like I would work what I could and then it was just like it was more flowy. But I feel like I have to be a little bit less flowy at this moment in my life. You know, we have an amazing nanny. So like when she's here during the day, like that is my time, you know, to work. And then it's like as soon as she's gone, I'm with the kids. And also, you know, I have gone out of 4 days a week and that just has felt really worth it with the kids. And I also think that like, you know, and even like there's so much to do right now. And like, and when I have things to do, it's like, I'll do it after they go to bed. I'll do it at nap time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like, I'm going to choose moments where it's not going to like infringe on my time with them. Again, it might infringe on my time with my husband. It might infringe on my own self-care practices. Like other things will fall by the wayside, but like, that's kind of a non-negotiable for me right now. And even when I was writing my book, I would get up. This was when I had a girl that slept through the night, not at this moment in my life, but I would, boy, sleep I miss. But I think that I would often get up at 5:30 to kind of get 90 minutes done on the book before my toddler got up. And that was so nice because like nobody was up and it felt like my most creative time. Yeah. So I would say that like having very clear times that I'm doing my work and also, you know, not letting my work infringe on my time with them. And then I would say the other piece is like, I mostly work from home. And so like my toddler is like running in all day, every day to be like, do this with me or do this, you know, and I'm also breastfeeding. And so when I'm home, I'm breastfeeding. So I also like, there's also a part of me that's just like, I am not going to be as productive as I used to be. Like I am going to be interrupted all the time. And like, I just choose that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like I could go work from an office and be out of the house for 8 hours a day. But like part of why I love working for myself is that like I get those interruptions.
Right.
You know, I get to like have a moment where I'm like just like wrestling with my toddler. I decide to go on a break and go on a walk, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. So I think it has been around having very clear times that I'm with them and when I'm not, but also just like being available and not trying to optimize every moment and knowing that maybe it just means that I'm not going to do everything because I definitely can't.
That resonates so much with me. Like I'm not obviously a projector, but I do think like in motherhood, we have different types or like our types will show up differently in motherhood, right? For a projector, it would seem like, first of all, in my mind, I feel like projectors would just make really good moms, but also might feel the guilt of like not always doing all the things because there's never nothing to do. When you're a parent, there's always like there's always a to-do list. But I think the reminder, like, I'm sure it's some things you schedule, right? And you're saying some things you have to be flowy with, or you don't have these maybe moments of being productive and resting is something that's super important. Would you say that that's important for all types or particularly the projector mothers? Like, I feel like I would take advice from that too as a manifesting gen. So I'm just also curious where the parent role kind of intersects with a certain type.
Well, I think we all need rest and I do think we all need time alone, you know? So I would say that like what maybe is a little bit different is that manifesting generators, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, they tend to rest the deepest and the best when it feels like they've actually like used up their energy in ways that feel really satisfying. So like for projectors, it's really good to like build and rest throughout our days, but it's not like we have to like have all this output. We're just often like, a moment to ourselves. How delicious. But like for generators and manifesting generators, if they haven't used up their energy in a way that feels satisfying, it can actually be hard to rest deeply and rest well. And so like expending their energy well, whether it's with their kids, whether it's at work, whether it's creatively something, that's the thing that allows them to sleep. So I have another thought, but I'm just curious your thoughts.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Thoughts on that as a manifesting generator?
110%. It's wild because you're saying that, and I've met a lot of manifesting generators lately. Like, I don't know, we've just been gravitating towards each other, and then we've all had issues with sleeping lately. Like, it's been something that we've been talking about. And I think I never really correlate it with, if I do have a good day where today I probably will sleep well, I'm doing like connecting with people, having great conversations, I'm like walking around New York, like there's a lot of stimulants for me today where I think I'll sleep okay. But yeah. I didn't think about the days that I don't. Yeah, I don't really think I'm probably expending my energy in a place or a way I want.
Yeah,
that is fascinating.
It is. You know, I often, when I am sitting, and I talk about this in the book, but when I sit with manifesting generators and generators, like one question to kind of discover their alignment is often like how they feel when they go to bed. Like, is it, and it's so funny because we have a mutual friend, Amber, which is how we connected. And one of Amber's mentors has always used this phrase of being like delightfully spent. And yes. I just like, I love it because I always find that that speaks to kind of what manifesting generators and generators are really seeking. When they end the day and they're like, I feel delightfully spent. I used it all up. I left my energy all on the field and now I can finally rest. And maybe it happens in the afternoon. Like, it doesn't have to be at night. But I think when in the other side, if they kind of end up in nighttime and they're like, oh my God, I feel restless. I feel dissatisfied. I haven't really used up my energy. Like, that's the signal that like, oh, how could they use their energy differently during the day?
I love that. And that makes sense. And like, it's based like what your book's about, like how we choose, why we choose to do things. Like, projectors might need to choose to relax, right? You need to do that. And then like, for me, it's like, choose to do what you need to do, like to get your energy out, girl, because you ain't going to sleep that night. Exactly. Like literally, I didn't really think about that, but that just totally, okay, I'm gonna make sure, like now I'm like, cause sleep is a big thing. I don't know if this is like a real statistic, but my guess would be that man-gens have trouble sleeping more than other types is my guess.
I think that is not, no. I feel like I feel like you might be onto something there. Like, I haven't heard it, but I like, it makes sense to me because again, I think that what makes the space for good sleep is feeling like they're really using it all up well. And well in a way that feels deeply satisfying. And I feel like a lot of generators and manifesting generators deprioritize their own satisfaction to take care of everyone else's needs. And so I think we actually have like a absence of really lit up generators and manifesting generators. So it does make sense to me. And one story that I tell in my book is around a manifesting generator mother. I think she was a mother of five. She'd been home with her kids for a number of years. And when she came to me, she was like, you know, Erin, I like really feel this desire to be like creatively and intellectually stimulated, but I feel so much guilt because I don't want to have like time away from my kids.
Yes.
And I was like, I so hear that. And what your design would say, take it or leave it, is that the more you use your energy in ways that feel creatively satisfying, which to me sounds like some of that is outside is these creative pursuits right now, the more energy you'll have for everything in your life, including your kids. And so to me, I don't actually see that as you take being away from them, but more like bringing your best self to them. And so she hired part-time help and kind of started to work on these projects. And she just found that one, she had so much more energy for her kids. Right. And she also found that like her kids were like lighter and brighter and happier because manifesting generators and generators, like their energy pours out into the world around them. Yeah. And when they are lit up, they light everybody up, you know? And so it is so to everybody's benefit that is a priority, even if it sometimes means maybe stepping away from your kids to go do a thing that you love because you'll come back a different person.
That's so true. And like, I'm here now in New York. I'm not with my kids. They went home. We had spring break in New York. And so we had like a lot of fun. And now I'm staying to do some work stuff. And I do feel guilty. But I know for a fact this is giving me life, right? Just doing what I love to do. And every time, 10 out of 10 times when I'm doing something, even if it's not being with them physically as a mom, I'm so much better parent version of myself when I do return back to them. I'm excited to, like, you know, go through their Easter basket stuff when we get back. I'm like, I'm genuinely excited to spend time with them versus I have to, in a way, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think it's just like a good reminder, if you're a man, Jen, and you do things outside of your family, might be the best for your family in a weird roundabout way. So we talked about this a little bit with projectors, like them needing rest, man gens, and generators understanding that they need to focus on potentially other stuff that energize them, which might not be being physically with their kids or what have you, just stuff that actually gives them real true energy.
Yeah.
What about for manifestors? What does that maybe look like in parenting? Like a thing they might want to look out for with choosing stuff.
Well, two things come up. One is that I think manifestors are really not here to do things in a way that anyone else has done. And that extends to every part of their lives. And that's probably going to include parenting, you know? And so like, you know, they might not be, and they might be, but they also might not be the ones that are like, I'm going to like subscribe to like what everyone else says that I should do. Yeah. It's like, I'm really going to tune in and like do things in a way that feels really true to me. And it might feel different and unique and strange, but I think that like it feels right to me. So, I think that, you know, manifestors feeling permission as parents to really tread their own path is key, because they just do things differently in every single way. And so allowing parenting to be one of the expressions of that. And then I would also say that, you know, manifestors do have these kind of bursts of energy in their lives where they have these moments where they're super on fire over often a period of days, weeks, hours, followed by a need to really be alone and kind of in their own energy. Obviously, with kids, you might not always have that space, but I think having moments where they can also carve out time and space to just like be in their own uninterrupted flow to kind of just do their own thing is so important for manifestors, because often in that quieter space for them, the new ideas will emerge, the new things they want to create. So if they like create no space for themselves, then like they also make themselves unavailable for new ideas to come. So, you know, I know a manifestor mother and I love what she does. She basically will like go into her room and close her door and be like, I love you. I will be unavailable for the next hour. And then I'll like return to you. So like she's super explicit in her communication, which is so important for manifestors to do, but she really does carve out space and is really explicit in that, like, this is my time to be in like my uninterrupted thing. And so I think wherever they can give themselves that moment.
I love that. I love that. And then lastly, with reflectors, what do they look like as parents? I think, I mean, I feel like they'd be really, I don't know, magical parents in a way, or just really
about
their parents.
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, such wise parents. I think that like, I guess one thing I would say as a reflector is knowing that you are so wildly sensitive to your space. I would really think about that when planning like outings and adventures with your kids. Like obviously do the things they want to do, but also like take care of your own energy and be like, let's go to a place that I also know I love, because I know you'll get the best version of me in that space. So I would not deprioritize that. I would also make sure that you have like your own little sanctuary that you can retreat to. Maybe it's your bedroom, maybe it's a garden, maybe it's a park, but like being in a space that feels good, probably especially in nature, is like so rejuvenating for you. And I also think like reflectors' energy is really cyclical. And so what I mean by that is like, you might have weeks where you're like, my energy is through the roof and I am up for anything and everything. And then you might have the next week and you're like, I am exhausted and like need to be, have some more time and space. So I would not force, like obviously provide security for your kids in terms of like being clear in what you are available for, but not force yourself to be consistently on every single day, but just be a little bit more attuned to where you are and see the ways that you can honor that.
I love that so much. And I just think like, and you all can go back to the previous episode too, where we go through what this looks like for each parent, but also our kids. Cause I think understanding my type has been great, but then also seeing the girls, like when they're babies, right? But to see like the types kind of show up as they get their little personalities, they're each manifesting generators, but they have different, I can't remember, I have to look again, but like they have different environments or like all the breakdowns are not all exactly the same. And I see that. I see how it's like manifesting literally in their little personalities. And I'm just so grateful that I have the knowledge now as a man, Jen, who was often told you're doing too much, you need medicine, like you are, you're trying to do this and that, that's not a good way to be. Like knowing that that is their natural tendency is just helping me be a better mom, I think, for them. And I get them, like I get it. So I just think that's been really powerful.
I love it. And I will say that like, you know, my toddler's a manifesting generator. Like I said, my 6-month-old, the manifestor, I already see it in my 6-month-old.
Really? 100%. Like what? Like how?
Well, manifestors are really like crave freedom, and they're super powerful, and they're also like really beautifully intense, you know, and they really kind of do things their own way. And so I think that one, my 6-month-old has like always been very like, just like locked in with you. Like she's just like, be with me in a way that I love. But the thing that actually comes up is that when my 6-month-old was 2 months old, she started rolling over, and she would only, which was incredibly early, you know,
that's super early,
super early, like so not what my toddler was like, and started like only sleeping on her belly. And like the internet is like, no belly sleeping at that age. And I remember calling my pediatrician being like, what do I do? She's sleeping on her belly. I would literally go in, try to like flip her back over, and then she'd flip back over and then flip. And I was just like, it's like a losing battle. And my pediatrician was like, you can't stop her.
Yeah.
Like she's going to do what she wants to do. And like, I was just like, what am I trying to do? She's a freaking manifestor. She like bust out of her swaddle. She was like, let me do me. She's so physical. She's very much like, I got to move and do my own thing. And like, I guess I'm loving watching it because like you can sense this desire for like freedom and I don't know, power this early on. And she's a tiny little honey. And like, she's just really, she's powerful.
That's amazing. And that's so cool that your family has so many different types.
I know.
Like, I think my family is mostly man-gen and generators. I'd have to go back and look, but I think that's so like, it's almost poetic that of course you're probably going to have a reflector next. Or your whole family, you're going to have like different types, right?
I know.
But like, is that something that's easier to do? Like, is it easier to be like coexisting with similar type vibes? Like I have a lot of man gen friends. I'm like, is that by chance? I'm just curious. And the family dynamic.
I think that like, I would say kind of both can work. Yeah. I think that like there is something nice about having similar types because there's like the sense of resonance, but I also think it requires alignment. You know, I grew up in a family of 2 projectors and 2 manifestors, and like all of us, our biggest shadows, all 4 of us for projectors and manifestors is overworking and doing too much. And you see that pattern in my parents and me and my sister. So like in a moment like that, it's like we kind of like amplified our collective challenge. Whereas like when you have, you know, like when I sit with a projector mother, you know, who has a projector daughter, I'm like, that is like the biggest gift if you learn how to give yourself permission to take rest, because that is going to be the biggest gift for her, you know? So I think that like there is something around when you're really in alignment, just like you, when you allow yourself to be big and passionate and multidimensional and move between many different things, it's going to give your family that permission too. So I think that like similarity can be really, really useful if the parents do the work of honoring their design and giving their kids permission. And I also think there's real value in difference as long as you don't expect others to be the same. Like my husband and I are really amazing collaborators because we are so different and we're such different parents. And I think with my kiddos, like I just have no expectation that either of them will be anything like me. And so it's fun. But again, if I was like walking in being like, oh, I'm going to like expect them to like want my projector vibes or any of that, like that might not work. So I think that like, there's no good or bad. It's just different. But I would say if there is similarity, you being aligned as a parent is going to be so essential. Yes. And if there is difference, one, you being aligned is always going to be important, but I think really making sure that you're not expecting others to be just like you. And one quick story I'll tell from the book also is from a generator father who had a manifesting generator daughter. Okay. And when he came to me, he was like, Erin, I'm so frustrated. My daughter is like not choosing a sport. She's playing lacrosse. She's playing softball. She's trying cross country. She's doing basketball. Like he's like, he like chose one sport in high school and like became excelled at it. And he was really wanting that from his daughter. And I looked at her design. I was like, she's not doing anything wrong. Like she's meant to try it all. Like that is who she is. And he realized that like his frustration was not like, was just because they were different. And he didn't really have the framework to understand all the ways in which they were different. He interpreted the multi-passionate nature as being scattered instead of as being diverse and needing variety and needing freshness. So I think there is something so amazing about really understanding how different our kids are and our partners and our colleagues, because like, it allows us to appreciate them. And honestly, my biggest hope with this book is that people not only read the chapters that are for them, but also open up the chapters that are about their twins and are about their kids and are about their partners and about their parents and about their siblings. Yes. Because I will say every time I read about my daughters and my husband, I learned something new and I wrote the freaking book. And I'm still like, oh my God, I could support them better this way. Oh my God, I've been expecting this. And I'm like, it still gives me so many tools every single time.
That's so true. And I think that's like, that's our tendency, right? People are pretty like selfish. Like they might like listen to a podcast. It's like, I'm going to go to my chapter. I'm going to go just to the man gen, cause that's all I care about. But like, it's in the learning about other parts that I like the most work for me happens. Right. Like, I think I think as parents, we all, I think I've said this before too, like we think our kids are an extension of us. And like, the sooner we're able to realize they are not, they are their own individual people. And we are meant to support whatever that looks like, the better their life is, the more fulfilling it can be. Like, there's just so many things that I think I was misunderstood about growing up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do better for my kids. But a lot of times we don't have the tools. We don't have the language. And I just love how human design gives you that language. It gives you the tools. It's spelled out. You just can't skip to your own chapter. You got to learn about all the different ones.
You know? Ones too. I know. And it's fun because the book has so many stories, like so many stories of celebrities and clients and all these things. And I love it because a lot of the feedback I've received is like, people are like, I'm like, now want to read about every single person just because I love the stories. And I'm like, honestly, if the stories are just doing that, like getting you to read about everyone, it's so worth it, you know, because I think it's like, it is so, and even like you were saying, like, you're like, oh, I have this person in my life that I think is a manifestor. Like, it's just so fun to think about how different we all are and be like, oh, I see why, like, maybe this communication hasn't been working, or I see how I could support them differently in this way, or I see why maybe they haven't understood me and how I could better articulate my needs. Like, it's just, it is such a powerful relational tool to understand the people in our lives better.
Yes. And it's the people in your lives. It's the career choice you might, like, you choose. It's the lover that you have. It's just, it's all encompassing. And so I'm just excited for people to get. So when does it come out? We're going to link Elisa a discount code in the notes below. We'll link the book, but where can they find it? Where can they follow you? Where are all the things?
The book comes out, all the things. The book comes out on May 13th.
Okay.
It is.
Is that Mother's Day or like near anywhere Mother's Day?
Where books are sold.
When's Mother's Day?
I don't know, but it is the day before my birthday. What day is Mother's Day?
I mean, go on. Sorry.
I know.
May 14th is your birthday.
Anyways, we'll figure it out.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Okay.
May 14th is my birthday and the book comes out May 13th. I know. Well, yeah. Love it. But okay, so the book can be found anywhere books are sold. And it's called How Do You Choose by Erin Claire Jones. Also, our website is humandesignblueprint.com. We sell these hyper-personalized guides all about your design. And we have a discount code, which we think is Twin Mama.
Yes, it'll be that.
And I'm going to set that up if it doesn't exist already. It'll be that. And then I'm on Instagram at Erin Claire Jones and Human Design Blueprint.
Yes. And I think like one thing I loved about, because your socials was how I found you, well, through Amber, but then it's like a little stories you give. Like you'll have a celeb and a story about them like on your Instagram. And I felt like it was such a relatable way to understand like the different types, where it's not getting too much into the language I don't understand. Like, I really love how relatable it is. I'm imagining that your book is very much that, real stories, real people. Yeah. So anybody can kind of insert and understand a little bit. Amazing.
That's okay, right. And honestly, my favorite part of the book, and I didn't add this into the last 6 weeks. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Sorry. I can hear you now.
Go.
No, go on. You're saying your favorite part of the book.
Oh, I was just saying one of my favorite parts about... You're kidding.
This text. One
of my favorite parts of the book is that, are we getting out? Can we hear each other?
We can hear you. It's just like a little bit of delay, but go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I hope that we capture that awkwardness. So I think that one of my favorite parts of the book is that each chapter begins with a celebrity, and it begins with a moment in their life that like really beautifully encapsulates their design. And like, it was such fun to research to do, to be like, okay, like Rosalind Carter's a reflector. Like, are there moments in her life that really align with this? Or like The Rock is a manifesting generator. Like, how can I? So it's just been so it is such a cool way I found to kind of introduce the concept through these people that people know, you know. It's like Gloria Steinem is a manifestor. Like, what a beautiful example of somebody who's here to be like a force for change, you know? So is Maya Angelou. So anyways, that was really to your point around relatability. Cool. Yeah.
I love that. Wait, who was the big celeb projector? I'm curious now.
Nelson Mandela obviously, you know, and then also, and
as
also,
you should.
Yeah, totally. And then also the celeb that I use for kind of with a strategy of projectors was RuPaul, who's also a projector, but there's like a really beautiful story of like how his career came about, and projectors really, it always comes about through an invitation. So it's kind of about what was that invitation for him that really unlocked everything he's done.
Ah, I love it. Okay, I can't wait to read. I'm sure all my listeners will too. But Erin, thank you so much for being on. You always are the best. And we'll talk again soon.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content. And and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.